that when I go to another church for some reason. I want to thank you for the privilege of being here today, for not only just speaking to you, but for your support of our children, for your support of education, community, and our future. And the investment that you're making, I can stand here and testify to you that it's well worth it when I see young people leading out in our churches. And Ethan, thank you. Wherever you might be a little small. Thank you for reading that text. It's amazing what our young people are capable of doing. As I was thinking about what I was going to share with you today, I was praying and driving with my eyes open. And I was going down Fair Oaks Avenue, and it had three lanes and then two turn lanes on the left-hand side. And I was driving and say, Lord, what do you want me to talk about? And all of a sudden, this minivan comes racing out of the parking lot across all three lanes. Brakes are locked up. People are yelling. Horns are honking. This person pulls into the left turn lane. And I'm thinking, wow, I'm awake, you know. And then they decided they didn't want to be there, so they came all the way across the lanes again and then turned right. And as they turned right, I caught a glimpse of their bumper. And the sticker said, just forgive. I said, thank you, Jesus. I don't know what the other people were saying. But Jesus speaks in mysterious ways. I can tell you that right now. Let's bow our heads. Father God, I want it to be your words and not mine, Lord. I want it to be your blessing. I want people to leave being closer to you, Lord. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for all your blessings. In your name, amen. It was early in the morning. Bible class. The teacher was getting ready to present the lesson, and in barged a group of men. They threw a lady at his feet. The students were stunned. They stood off to the side. The teacher was standing in the middle, and the angry men were over here. One of the men said, this woman was caught in adultery. The law of Moses said we should stone her. But we want to know what you think. The teacher didn't say anything. He stooped down and started writing in the dust. One of the men persisted. I want to know what you think. Tell us. The teacher stood up, looked at him, and said, okay. Let the man in this crowd that has never sinned throw the first stone. And then he stooped again, and he started writing. The men heard that, and the Bible says they left one by one, the oldest first. The teacher stands up, looks around, and then looks at the woman and asks the question, where are your accusers? That's an amazing question, not only for the woman, but for each of us today. Where are your accusers? I like this quote, and it's a quote from Anne Mont. It goes like this. I do not understand the mysteries of grace, only that it meets us where we are. but it not, does not leave us where it found us. Where is your accusers? You see, we live in a time where it's simple, and we always hear it, and it irritates me because some people say you're not good enough. You know, some people say you blew it again, or what are you thinking? And after a while, we listen. And John, Apostle John, he talks about the accuser. You see, we can hear each other, and that's our world. But I think sometimes we let something in our heads. John calls the Satan the accuser because sometimes we listen to him and his accusations. Sometimes we believe Satan's accusations. But the problem is Satan's accusations bring no repentance. It brings no resolve. Satan's accusations just bring regret to each of us. And in John 10:10, he says, Satan wants to steal, kill, and destroy. And the way he does it is through accusations. Satan wants to steal your dreams. He wants to kill your joy. And he wants to destroy your future. And it's a little voice right here that does it. It's a little voice that when you mess up, he's more than happy to let you know about it. And we have a choice. What do we do with that voice? How do we deal with it? I know how the teacher dealt with it. The teacher stood up for the woman. And the teacher stands up for each one of us. And that's good news. He's already been dealt with because the teacher will not let Satan have the last word. Praise God. The woman was changed by grace. Grace doesn't allow us to stay where we're at. If you ever catch yourself thinking, I can do whatever I want because God will forgive me, grace hasn't happened to you because grace encourages you to grow. Selfishness, maybe. Arrogance, definitely. I can do what I want and God will forgive me and I'm okay. Grace encourages us to do good. It doesn't give us a ticket to do evil. But also, grace chooses to see God's forgiveness. So how do we deal with this? Picture it. Jesus is in the upper room. And I love VBS. That was pretty cool. 30 feet. It was amazing. Jesus in the upper room. 12 men are around a table. They're talking. Some are laughing. Some are serious. Some are kind of off by themselves. Jesus stands up. And he walks over to a water basin. He fills it up. He takes his jacket off. And he puts a towel on. He goes over and he starts washing the disciples' feet. And I love Peter. Peter, I think Jesus really ridicules Peter a whole lot because Peter's always doing something that he's not supposed to. I can relate. And he bends down to wash Peter's feet. And Peter says, no, you will not wash my feet. And Jesus says, if I don't wash your feet, you can't be part of me. And then Peter goes, well, give me a bath. Jesus says, no, I don't need to. Please. Feet's good enough. And then I see Jesus going over to Judas. Jesus kneels down before Judas. And Jesus washes his feet. Jesus knows the plans. He knows the end game of what's going to happen that evening. And he stoops down and he washes Judas' feet. Wow. When that evening is done, Jesus says these words. He says, go and do likewise. You see, I don't think it's about breaking bread and just washing feet. I think what Jesus was saying is, do what I have done tonight. And that means what he has done to Peter, what he has done with Judas. That's not always easy, I can tell you. Victoria, she's 44 years old. She lives in Long Island, New York. One mid-November night, 2005, she was going from her niece's recital to home. And as she recounts the story, she says, I was thinking about spending the evening on the couch reading a book with the fire. And that's all I could think about. I wanted to get home. She didn't notice the silver Nissan coming from the east. She didn't see the young man leaning out the window with a 20-pound frozen turkey that he threw onto her car. The turkey smashes the window, bends the wheel, steering wheel, and breaks her face. She was rushed to the ICU, and there she fought for her life for 3 days. They had to reattach her eyeball. They put titanium around her skull so she could at least have something to protect her brain. Nine months later, she finds herself standing in the courtroom across from the young man that had thrown the turkey. The community is outraged. They're upset because it seems like the teens have become out of control in their neighborhood and they wanted something to be done about it. And so the judge brings his gavel down and sentenced the young man to 6 months in jail. 5 years probation, some counseling and community service. The courtroom erupts. They're angry. The young man stands up. He walks over to Victoria and he embraces her. She grabs his head and whispers, I forgive you. You see, Victoria went to the judge and petitioned the judge to say, let's do the lenient sentence that possibly can be given to this young man. Because number one, I don't want to wreck his life. Now make no mistake, every time Victoria looks in the mirror, she understands pain. She understands what it's like to not be pretty. A reporter asked her, what are you doing? Why did you do that? She said, well, I didn't want this incident to ruin two lives. You see, anger is like you drinking poison and expecting somebody else to die. Wow. And they talked for a little bit, and she said, well, The reporter asked her, you know, what are you doing now? And she says, I'm a volunteer for the penal system. I take the young men and young women that are on probation and need to do community service, and I work with them. And she smiled at the reporter, and she goes, there's one thing that's a good blessing out of this whole thing. At least he didn't throw a ham. I would hate to be called Miss Piggy. Right now, I'm the turkey lady. See, Victoria knows how to fill a wash basin up. She knows how to fill it up. And she knows how to wash feet. Grace is not a ticket to do whatever you want. It's a ticket to do good. It's a ticket to take those situations and say, where sin abounds, grace abounds much more. Hebrews 12:15. See that no one misses grace, the grace of God. That the bitter root doesn't grow up and cause trouble. Wow. Go and do likewise. Go and do likewise. You see, if we take that simple thing and apply it to our community, our schools, our church, wow. Wow. Where grace abounds. Let's bow our heads. Father God, you are the inventor of grace. And we're all drowning in your grace, Lord. And help us to stretch that out. Help us to grow. Help us to learn how to give grace. Sometimes it doesn't take care of the hurt, Lord. That's your job. Our job is to emulate you in what we do and say, Lord. Thank you so much for grace and love. In your name, amen.